AI is taking over the internet. Made up facts, technology thinking for you. Startpage is the private search engine that still finds what you need without the noise. Try Startpage at startpage.com. That's startpage.com.
The stamp has officially been given. This is a matchup game for Ohio State. Welcome to Snap Judgments on a Tuesday at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. That's Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. Buckeyes getting ready for Penn State on Saturday, noon in the Horseshoe. And if you looked at the standings or Penn State's record, you might say, I don't know. Talent equated doesn't seem right, but Ryan Day convinced, and he will be hammering home that point all week to the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I don't know that he's actually convinced, but I think hammering that point home is important because, again, this is ostensibly, outside of missing your quarterback and missing your quarterback on defense and Tony Rojas and missing your head coach, it's the exact same team. Everything's the same. But, I mean, Penn State still has better talent, and this is going to sound crazy considering how they played, but other than Texas, this is the second most talented team Ohio State has played this season, without question. Like, top to bottom talent, Penn State is the second most talented team Ohio State has played. And probably...
I wonder why both are struggling with the way they are.
And probably will be that way through the end of the regular season. I think Penn State, player by player, is more talented than Michigan, probably. So I think it's at least something that should be able to keep the players' ears perked up. Say, we can't sleepwalk into this. Ohio State, traditionally under Ryan Day, has come out a little slow after off weeks. You hope that by reminding them and in you know, basically exhorting the crowd to show up and be super loud on Saturday. Like, that's Ryan Day saying, we need juice early in that game, because if you go into this thinking that Penn State is the team that is playing like their record, I think you can get yourself into a like bit of a slog match you don't really want to be a part of.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, because there have been some, mostly recently, Nebraska comes to mind off of the off week and it being disjointed, but I think after the first off week of this year, it was like, I looked and Ryan Day's average margin of victory coming off of or getting an extra week to prepare was like 25 points per game. So I'm not sure that narrative matches up that well.
But it feels like it, and that's what matters. Like, even the Washington game this year is the same way. I mean, you go into that, you're doing something different. That was obviously a little bit different because it's first road game, travel across the country, all that stuff. And with Penn State, you have this tradition, you have this rivalry, whether they want to call it that or not. So I don't think that's a concern for Ohio State heading into this weekend as far as, like, if I was, like, on threat level berm, I wouldn't have, like, oh, I'm worried the team's going to come out slow on Saturday. I just don't see that happen.
Yeah, and I don't really feel like they're on a true upset alert either. I know that there's going to be, you know, just talking about the way Penn State is talented, you would think that we're building up Penn State and saying that Ohio State must take this super seriously. They will anyway.
Yeah.
Like, they're playing Penn State, and everyone knew going into the year, which, you know, Ryan Day said, well, we don't circle it, but they certainly knew what was going to happen to start November. That was a top three matchup. They knew this was going to be a Fox, a big noon kickoff game. Everything that was scheduled on campus months ago, they kept that the same because of the power of these brands, and the possibility does exist that at some point Penn State could tap into that potential. Like, you're right, and it's a pretty large indictment of James Franklin and Steve Sarkisian both that they have top five talented rosters and have struggled both programs the way that they have last year. Texas not to the level that Penn State has, where they had to fire James Franklin. But at any rate, I don't think it will be that difficult for Ohio State to cut that tape on and talk themselves into the fact that they had better be ready for a physical showdown, because if nothing else, that's what it will be. Penn State might not execute as well as some other teams Ohio State has played, but in terms of 1-85, like, the blue chip ratio is still going to be out there for the Nittany Lions.
And Terry Smith, the interim coach at Penn State, is he's not talking about Ohio State, but he's saying this is what we're going to have to do to beat the Buckeyes. And part of that is slow the game down, run the ball. So, like, you know what they're going to try to do, so you need to be prepared for that. But ultimately, like, it's the storylines of this game are not the Ohio State roster versus the Penn State roster anymore. Like, that would have been the storyline in August, but it's not the case now because Drew Aller and Tony Rojas are out. And so the storyline, what motivates the people in this building, thankfully, for a game like this, is that there's, like, personal things at stake. And Ryan Day on
Tuesday, I cannot believe that he put it in those terms.
Tuesday morning, asked a couple different questions about Jim Knowles, asked him what his personal relationship was, and said that he, you know, what did he say? He doesn't want to hold grudges, but we're all human.
He said he respected the work that Jim Knowles put in at Ohio State. The end of the relationship was abrupt.
Fair.
And it was. And then he said, you know, you want to be professional. You don't want to hold it against anybody. But also, he's human.
Human.
So he didn't have to say that.
No.
And I think he knows the way that we're going to take that.
Because he knows that if he said it the other way, people would be like, that's not true. I mean, it clearly was a...
I guess, let me put it right. I didn't write it down. You try not to take things personally,
yeah.
But we're human.
Yeah.
I mean, say grudge.
It is very difficult. In Ryan Day, in discussing the decision or the process to hire Matt Patricia, talking about how unfortunate the timeline was and how the Buckeyes were not in a position really to go into the coaching carousel. Fortunately, Matt Patricia was there, is what he said. But, like, there's no doubt that the way that ended, and it's not just Ryan Day's side of things either. Like, let's be clear, Jim Knowles has his take on how things went and not being invited to the stadium for the national championship celebration, whether he was or wasn't, whether he was told don't come if you're not sure if you're going to be the coach here, whether he was told don't come because you're not accepting our offer. We don't know. There's two sides to every story, and then there's the truth. But
certainly we've heard a lot of variations of that story that have not come from Jim Knowles directly.
Yeah.
So I obviously his would be different, but I certainly understand Ohio State's perspective on that, particularly on the heels of what was happening in the build up to the national championship and those contract negotiations. Like, there were going to be a lot of raw, jangling nerve ends for Ryan Day, for Ross Bjork, for other people involved. Like, and not even just that. That impacted Larry Johnson and James Laurinaitis and Matt Guerrieri and Tim Walton and Caleb Downs and Kenyatta Jackson and Sonny
Stitt. Everyone,
like, everyone was involved in this decision. It's like, and the way that it ended, it is important that that is laid out. Like, there are going to be some frustrations, and the people on the Ohio State sideline are not just going to tip their hat and say thanks to Jim Knowles, like the way that in a lot of other circumstances that you would.
Yeah. The person who should be tipping their hat and saying thanks to Jim Knowles is Matt Patricia, because the contract Jim Knowles wanted, Matt Patricia is going to end up getting at Ohio State down the road.
It's going to be a lot bigger than the one Jim Knowles got.
It's great. And Ryan Day went pretty detailed talking about the need for consistency, the need for continuity on the coaching staff. I wanted to ask him, and I because we're told not to do follow-ups in these settings, and so I try to respect the rules. But what I'm really curious about was what ended up being asked by Tim May, fortunately, at the end of the press conference, which was, Is there an expectation that coaches or in your staff need to be telling you or should be telling you? And again, even that response from Ryan Day is not like, yes, this is how we do things. It's like, well, I hope I'm expecting that, but everyone handles things differently. And we're not oblivious to the Brian Hartline discussion floating around the Ethernet, the internet everywhere over these last couple of days. But it seems like Ryan Day and the people in this building don't really put stock into that happening or being a concern right now, no matter how much the Penn State side is trying to strike strike twice. I don't know. Like, did the last one go so well that they're like, we have to do this? Like, maybe it's not the coach so much as it is the system.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. And look, it's not even November yet. The fact that the coaching carousel is spinning at this level and the fact that there are so many good jobs, it's inevitable. Brian Hartline's name is going to continue to come up for these jobs. And it is not just about if Penn State wants him or if Florida wants to get involved.
Or UCLA or Michigan State
any other spot.
Or Florida State.
He's going to be named on these lists because he's Ohio State's offensive coordinator. He has one of the best recruiting track records in the country. Certainly for his position.
And so it's his agent's job to get his name on the list.
And having his name be on that list also means that he has leverage inside this building. Like, that's when Ryan Day said something about this as well that I think is important, which is that it's not as linear as you think it is.
Yeah.
And these are complicated factors. Also, it's not a linear progression necessarily in Brian Hartline's mind. This is my personal opinion. This is not me making this is not me reporting. This is just based on experience. Brian Hartline, I don't think, would view jumping from 1 year as Ohio State's offensive coordinator to the head coaching job at Penn State as being the most rational move. That doesn't mean that he should decline an opportunity to interview.
Or decline it if they offered it.
Or if they offer him $10 million. Now, the situation, again, for Brian Hartline, I can't speak for him. He is not in a position, thanks to his NFL career, where he has to look for that first lottery ticket that is dangling out for him the way that, I don't know, Chris Ash did when he went to Rutgers. And it was not, and a lot of people told him that's not the job. I know Rutgers and Penn State are not the same thing. I'm not suggesting that they are. But in terms of planning out and plotting your career and understanding where you are right now, you know, I personally don't believe that Brian Hartline would be all that enamored with the potential at Penn State, but he's going to continue to, his name is going to continue to come up. What would the job opportunity look like for him a year from now, after one more year of coaching Jeremiah Smith and bringing in Chris Henry?
He's been interviewing for other jobs for the last 2 years because that's
what he should do. It's good experience.
He should do that. So again, if Penn State decides that he's their guy, great. And no one in this building is going to tell Brian Hartline, you don't do that. They're going to say, are you sure this is right for what you're doing right now? And then he'll have to make that decision.
But the other part, and I mentioned this with the contract for Matt Patricia, this would also apply to Brian Hartline in these conversations and with his agent. Ohio State, you know, for all the summer talk of NIL,
Ohio State's broke, how
much they're going to spend and where they're going to spend it, there is no mistaking they will invest in continuity and invest in high-level coaching. And I believe that that is already underway with Matt Patricia. And if Brian Hartline wants to jumpstart that process for himself right now, all power to him.
Yeah.
Because the nonlinear part that Ryan Day mentioned about, okay, what does this mean for your roster? What does this mean for the future of recruiting? What does this mean for 1 year to next in roster retention? All of that is wrapped up into it. Also, what do you see as their long-term ceiling as a coach? Ryan Day has invested a lot into Brian Hartline, and Brian Hartline, without question, has poured a lot into this building and the one that's right over there. So I think Ross Bjork, Ryan Day, staff investment, they will pay whatever it takes to keep this group together. I strongly believe that. Now, will it be enough? Like,
that doesn't mean everyone, but when you're talking about the nucleus, when you're talking about the core four or five, like, that's a conversation you have to have. And I don't think Ryan Day's insistence on mentioning how important that continuity was today is an accident. And Ross Bjork is in the back of the room. Like, they know these conversations are ongoing. But, you know, this episode of Snap Judgments has taken a bit of a turn. We're not talking about the football side of things.
I thought it was a matchup game.
But I was also intrigued by the line of question about Larry Johnson and how this year has actually reinvigorated him a little bit. And you could almost see a little twinkle in Ryan Day's eye. Like, yeah, and it makes you wonder, like, is this what they wanted for the last 3 years? And maybe the conversation has been shaded the wrong way in the last couple of years about the Jim Knowles, Larry Johnson headbutting, because it seems like Larry Johnson is okay with changes.
Multiple fronts, yeah.
And like, what
that sign
was,
me up.
That was seemed to not be the case prior. Now, again, Ryan Day made sure to bring up the fact that they had Jack and JT and Ty, and like, there's no reason to do all these other things when you have those guys. But he did say it seems like Larry Johnson is reinvigorated, and I'm telling you, it seems that way when we see him. He's got a little more pep in his step and a little juice, and it's probably fun to be 72 years old and learning new things on the job.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing great, and I know Larry Johnson specifically always gets a little extra, you know, fire in the belly to get ready for Penn State, given his history there. So I expect another dominant performance from the Silver Bullets. I know I'm not on the boldest P out there. That's not the weakest limb that you could be on. But you look at this, the area where Penn State has struggled in trying to find the true matchup part, it applies on defense and, to me, not so much on offense. I know you look at the backfield power that Penn State has. You're not going to be able to just go run on Ohio State. So it's going to be – that's where the slog exists in my mind. Yeah. A lot of three and outs. Can Jim Knowles create enough new looks to confuse Julian Sain? I'd personally be surprised to see that too. But that's why the spread is 20.5, because the sum has been less than the parts for Penn State. That's been the case all year, even before they got into the conference season.
Yeah, and it is what it is. I mean, again, Penn State's not beating a Power Four opponent this year. I appreciate Ryan Day saying this is a matchup game. I don't think anyone outside looking in should view it in those terms, but you know it's going to be a fight, and that's the way it goes. Well, let's talk actual football for a few minutes.
Okay.
The question that most people have had been thinking about, wondering about, heading into the renewed work week after the weekend off for Ohio State is not about Ryan Day's hay experiences or anything like that, his hayfield experiences. But
Corn maze,
hayfield, whatever. It's the Josh Padilla, Tegra Tshabola conversation. It seemed to me, and you can tell me if you heard it differently, Ryan Day was talking about the opportunity for Josh Padilla to rotate more, be more involved. One of the things he said, well, he's not perfect. And then he said, we're going to keep working him in as the sixth offensive line. Did that see? I think my expectation level of Josh Padilla, the starting right guard against Penn State, went from about 80% to 45% with that comment.
I think starting, I would be probably lower than 45%. And the way it seems to me is like they're going to keep ramping up until Josh Padilla is ready for that. And maybe Penn State is not the opponent that you want to make that change. Unless you absolutely have to, this is not the time to do it. I think that the leash is getting progressively and increasingly shorter for Tegra Tshabola. And this is the most direct that Ryan Day has been about Josh Padilla and the sixth guy. Because throughout the rest of this year, it's been, well, we have 7, 8 guys and you have a primary position and a secondary position. Yeah. There can be no question after 7 games where the sixth offensive lineman would go play for Ohio State. So I think we're probably heading towards a situation where Ohio State is shortening the margin between the reps, that maybe we're looking at a true or a 50-50 rotation or plan early in the game. And then whoever thrives in that is going to play more of the second half. Because every time we've seen this, not every time, most times we've seen this where Tegra has been pulled, it's been 1 or 2 drives, and then he goes back in there. I don't know that that would necessarily be the case again.
Yeah.
If Tegra starts, which I agree, I think he's more likely than not to start on Saturday. But then if Josh Padilla comes out and those two drives are zipping down the field and the run game is clicking and whatever else, you know, maybe then you don't go back to the other option.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to see some bison package. I think you can put Tegra Tshabola out there as a third tackle and instead of running 4 tight ends. I think there's ways you can get creative to get these guys, put Josh at guard. Tegra has played outside. There's things you can do if you really were. If the goal is to, like, just tinker to find the best possible way to do new things, if you're having trouble in the red zone running the ball, and if part of it's because – and Ryan Day talked about the run game when you asked him about it. He said it's the quarterback, it's the wide receivers, it's tight ends. So in my opinion, like, maybe we have less 14 personnel and let's try to throw in a third tackle. Let's do something different. But I tend to agree more and more that if you're going to make a wholesale change at guard, it maybe makes more sense to start that at Purdue instead of at home against Penn State, where the one part of their defense that they still have some real dudes is that defensive line with Danny Denye Sutton and those guys. So maybe that's the better play.
Yeah, we'll see how they manage that. Also, certainly looks like you can plug Lorenzo Styles Jr. back into the starting lineup. You know, Ryan Day referenced that. He was not asked directly for an update. I know that Lorenzo, or everyone knows at this point, that it was an emergency situation. He did dress at Wisconsin, but they were not going to play him unless they absolutely had to, and they did not. They got that shutout without him. I know that, you know, Devin Sanchez has played well at corner, but, you know, Ryan Day, again, no accidents. And we pay attention to everything that's said on snap judgments. Having Lorenzo Styles next to Jermaine Matthews, not a coincidence that he would name those two.
That makes them better.
Makes the defense better. So I think you can count on seeing Lorenzo back out there on Saturday
as much
as
he can go. So, I mean, we'll find out.
He's had a month now. Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor. I just know that shoulders can be tricky if one hit and all of a sudden.
You actually are an expert on shoulder injuries.
I've had them, but one hit can change the way you feel for the entire week. So I think that that's just something to watch. Is there anything else that Ryan Day talked about at his press conference on Tuesday? We're obviously going to talk a lot more about the football side of things on the Wednesday morning edition of The Beat. But what else did you hear or think in that presser that was like, oh, cool?
It's hard for me just to get over the Jim Knowles conversation, to be honest. I mean, I know that that's...
Yeah, I really didn't want to spend too much time focusing on the Jim Knowles discussion this week because I don't think it's relevant to the game plan. But, like, the more I think about it, the more I think it's relevant to the emotion behind this game. And Ohio State has bit its tongue. And, like, I think this is the week where you can just bite your tongue off. Or someone else's. You know?
Someone else's.
Just go straight into tongue biting mode.
Huh. Well, that would be an interesting
photo. Because here's the thing.
If you allow yourself
to lose this game, that Jim Knowles is going to talk after that game is going to be wild.
Yeah. I think about the post-game notebook from at Penn State last year and how much chest beating was going on. And, like, we would probably have to do the notebook outside the Penn State locker room.
Yeah, it would be absolutely bizarre. But I think it is providing some extra juice in a game that had lost its juice naturally. Like there had been a natural dejuicification over the last like 4 weeks.
Yes, of course.
But now you can reinvigorate with some faux juice injection.
Uh-huh.
And this is not faux juice. This is real juice injection.
Huh.
You know?
Well, I hadn't really thought about it in those exact terms.
No one has. That's the problem with America today. People aren't thinking, what next?
I was also thinking about how the notebook just needed to go outside the Penn State locker room on Saturday.
I mean, we should just do it regardless.
If the projected score actually comes
through. I mean, either way, that's definitely probably a spot to spend some time, but who knows?
We'll see. We're one day closer to it because work is ramping back up in here. Ohio State doesn't have the Penn State logo up today. They're just going to be a champion this week. Practice on Tuesday afternoon as they get back to it, coming off of off week number two. Big noon kickoff Saturday against the Nittany Lions in the Horseshoe. Can't wait for it. And then so much more coverage coming. As Burn mentioned, we've got the beat. We've got a stock watch coming on Wednesday morning. We'll be back for Woody Wednesday in the evening with some snap judgments again there. Three thoughts Thursday. Three things Thursday. They're just three.
It's generally more than three.
So who knows?
The entire shtick has fallen apart because
worry about that. And then, of course, bold predictions for that matchup.
Big recruiting weekend coming up. We'll have talking stuff on Thursday. Lots of discussion. This is a big one.
Yeah,
it's a big one. Regardless,
it's a matchup.
Yeah, it's a matchup game, whether you like it or not.
So stay with us all week long on the Austin and Berm Show, 97.1 The Fan, 10TV, 10TV Plus, Apple, Spotify, Roku. Are there others? I don't know. But probably. If you can find our content, we appreciate you watching and listening. He is Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ever look something up online and then see ads for it everywhere? That's not a coincidence. Startpage is the private search engine that finds what you need without anyone finding out you asked. Try startpage.com. That's startpage.com.